I thought that before I really got started this morning, what I would do is read some scripture to you, and that way we can kind of set the tone for what you're about to hear this morning. I'm going to be in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. And here we go. Now there was in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who were called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. You are an amazing God. And Lord, there is no question in that. And Lord, I just ask this morning that as I speak, that you would give me the words that I need to speak, and that you would open the hearts of those who hear. Father, we are, we're nothing without you. There is nothing that we can accomplish that will do anything without the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, Father, we just open our hearts to you this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to do what his plan is for each of our lives. We thank you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Yeah, I retired from the pulpit in 2020. It was something that struck me, but when that happened, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But you know, since that time, I've had the opportunity to speak in a lot of churches. You'd be surprised how many pastors go on vacation. You know, I'm just saying here. But I appreciate it when Nick gave me the opportunity to come here and speak. But every time I speak in a church now, you could say I have a one-track mind. I talk about missions. It's what I do. It's what God has called me to do. And folks, to be perfectly honest, he's called every one of us to this. Every one of us. God has put a calling on your life. And that is to be able to share the gospel. Now, listen, I retired from the pulpit, okay? But to be retired from the pulpit didn't mean that what my plan was going to be was to, sleep in every morning. My wife wouldn't let that happen anyway. But I was, to sleep in the morning and play golf every afternoon and all of that. I retired from the pulpit to go to the mission field because that's what God was calling me to do. To be honest, my plan was to preach. And at the time I was preaching at Trinity Church of Wesley Chapel. And now it's Spark Church. It's amazing to see what God is doing there. But that's for another sermon on another day. But my plan was to preach until I was 70 or 72. The optimum word there was my plan. I'm sure you've probably heard this before, but if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plan. And then he'll share with you what his plan is. And his plan is the one that holds all the water. I had a friend of mine I have known her for a lot of years. She was one of the folks, one of my congregation at Trinity. Amazing lady. But she approached me one day and said, you know, you need to go to Cuba. I'll take you. I'll pay for it. You just need to go. And I thought, wow, I've always kind of wanted to go to Cuba, or not to Cuba, but, you know, I've always wanted to go out and do a mission trip. And so I went. It almost didn't happen. There was some things going on at the church and everything else. And you know, like what happens with pastors, you know, we can't get out of the pulpit. We can't get away from the church, because if I'm not there, what's going to happen? And praise the Lord that Nick got up and went. You know, it's something that we need to do. And this was something that I needed to do. And I almost didn't. But, you know, honestly, with a little prayer, the Lord convinced me. Leave. Go. And so in 2018, I went to Cuba. And I remember, honestly, I went down there and I knew that we were going to be sharing the gospel, but I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. And it was that first night in the hotel. Actually, I'd had a day of going out and witnessing and sharing the gospel with people and watching people come to Christ. You know, folks, if you've never led someone to Christ, you haven't lived. I'm telling you, it is the greatest joy that you can possibly have. But anyway, I went through that first day and had talked to quite a few people and had shared Christ, watched people come to Christ. And that night in my hotel room, the Lord, I always like to say, he hit me in the head with a brick, but he spoke to me and he said, this is it. This is it. This is what you need to do. And so such a spiritual man, I misread what he was saying to me. I really did. I didn't get it. I mean, I knew that God was calling me to, you know, to go to the mission field and to do all these things. And so what I did was I thought that he wanted me to keep bringing my church back to Cuba. I thought that's what he wanted me to do. And so, faithful enough as I am, the next year, next year came, and I brought a few more people from the church, and we went to Cuba. And in my hotel room that night, the Lord did it again. And he said, this is it. This is what you need to do. Now, let me explain something to you about callings. If God puts a calling on your life, if you start doing what God is calling you to do, then he leaves you alone. If you don't, he doesn't leave you alone. And so that next year, in 2019, I got it again. And I thought, why? I'm doing what you want me to do. And so we went back. I had the same experience that we had had the year before. And I went back in 2020, brought more people from the church, went down to Cuba again. That time, hey, listen, it only took me 3 years to figure this out. But what God was calling me to do was to not keep bringing my church to Cuba. What he was calling me to do was to bring his church to Cuba. Not to Cuba, but to the mission field. That's the one that hit me. And so by then I had it figured out, and I came back from that trip in February of 2020, and I said, folks, in June, I retire. And so, you know, it's kind of funny how when God calls you to something and you sit back and you go, how is this going to work? How does this all work out, and all my youth pastor stepped right in. You know, we're an independent church, and there is no denomination to send us another pastor to do this, to when you need a pastor. And my youth pastor stepped in, and it went as smooth as could be. But I knew at that point in 2020, when I retired, that this is what God wanted me to do. I didn't know how it was all going to happen. And guys, all I can do is tell you, you know, when God's calling you to something, you know, a lot of times we get all bottled up with details. How is this going to work? How is that going to work? What is going to happen? How do I get through the next day? What's going to happen here? You know, and what we end up doing, and if you think about it for a moment, and it's a great example, is when Abraham was told to go. You know, he was there. He was set. He had everything that he needed, and God said to Abraham, go. And Abraham didn't go, well, where? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? He didn't. What he did was take that first step. And guys, I'm telling you, when God calls you to something, you don't have to figure it out. Take that first step and allow God to work in your lives. You see, that's the problem that we have so many times in our lives, that yeah, God's calling us or something, but I'm caught in the details. I'm not sure how he wants me to do this. And we end up not moving. And scripture does bear this out, that listen, if you don't, eventually God will bypass you and he'll go to somebody else. Because the job that he wants to get done is gonna get done. He's offering you to work with him. He's given you the opportunity. Just think about this for a moment. This God that we serve created the heavens and the earth. He did it all. They're just finding, I just saw the other day, they found another universe. Woohoo! Guess who did that? And we're just now finding it. And stars are still being born. Who's doing that? God is doing that. The stars, he's held in his hand and he's put it in its place and he's named each one. Scripture. He's done that. And then think about this. He calls you. This God who has created the heavens and the earth and everything in it knows your name. My Lord. You know, I remember when he called me into ministry, when I was working towards being in the pulpit, and I was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? I can't even speak in front of people. Now you can't shut me up. Yeah, I hope. Lunch will hold, right? Okay. But, you know, he takes care of that. That didn't stop me. And I did what God was calling me to do. The one thing that did confuse me when he called me into the mission field is wait a minute, Lord, you called me to the pulpit. Now you're calling me to something. I thought you only do one calling. No, that's not true either. God will put you where he wants you to be. And that is what's so important. Folks, don't try to hold God back. Let him work in your life. Let him do what he's going to do. Has he called every one of you to the mission field? No. No. Has he called every one of you to witness? Yes. Yes, he has. You know, that friend of mine that called me or that said, hey, well, why don't you come to Cuba with me? Her husband died this morning. and she's up in Michigan. And we, you know, we knew that it was coming. You know, it was one of those things. He was in hospice, and I love this guy. He's such a good guy. And, but you know what struck me? When something like this happens, I listen to the music, and I'm going, and how we're praising God through the music, and folks, what struck me this morning? I've known this family for a lot of years, and it struck me, how do people who don't know Christ deal with this? How do they deal with this? My wife saw a post on, I don't know, community page or whatever this morning, a family going, we want to have a celebration of life for, you know, somebody, or husband or whatever, who had died. We want to have a celebration of life. Yeah, no religion. But we need some place that's cheap. So they want to go to a bar or whatever. But you know something? There is no celebration in that. There is no celebration. Because the celebration is where they're going. You know, folks, your neighbor. I don't know any of you. But your neighbor very possibly does not know Jesus. How are they going to find out? How do they find out? Is it just a miracle that one day they'll come and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? No. You learn how to be able to share the gospel. But what if they ask me a question and I don't know it? Listen here. You listen to me. The best scripture that you can give to them is Jesus in your life. Jesus. And what has he done for you? And world, as messed up as the world is today, guys, he's coming back. I'm telling you. But as bad as the world is today and all the things that are going on, you just see how evil is in this country. And people need to know Christ. They need to know why, when all of this stuff is going on, that you can sit back and go, wow, this is great. Jesus is coming. Wow, I don't have a worry. Someone you know can go through the pain of death and go through that. And of course it upsets you. Of course it does. But your hope is in Christ. Your hope is not in this world. The hope is in what we're coming to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my friend. I know where he's at. I know where he's at this morning. You know, in pastoring for so many years, it's just one of the things that you end up doing is you have to do a lot of funerals, and sometimes people that you've never known, you know that they don't know Christ, and they're talking about, they're in a better place, really. Do you think hell's a better place? And it's really sad. And it's so sad. Just food for thought. Food for thought. But what God has called me to, folks, is, whoops, I got to get things straightened out here. I got a crooked finger. When I left the pulpit and I started going to the mission field, I went to the mission field to reach churches. Now, I don't know if that makes any sense to you. What do you mean that you left the pulpit to go to the churches? Doesn't that mean that missionaries go to the lost or to the unreached? Is that what that's all about? And actually, no, it's not. It's the church's responsibility. The church
That's why I read the scripture that I read this morning, because the church that was in Antioch, where all of them were meeting, where Paul started. This is where Paul started, him and Barnabas. And they were there and they were serving the Lord. Well, what does that mean? They were serving the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. And the Holy Spirit, which the church is absolutely nothing without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, you set those two guys aside. I am sending them out. And that's when I say, you know, it was the church that ended up sending them through the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's the church's responsibility to reach the lost. How does the church do that? It trains up its people to be able to share the gospel. That's the scripture that I was reading about today. The church actually sent them. The church in this country is responsible to send people into the lost and to the unreached. It's what we do. You know, there are about 3 billion people in the world who have never heard the name of Jesus. Think about it. I had the opportunity last year, early last year, to go to India. Talk about the unreached, or there, you could sit down and talk with people. And we did have a method of being able to reach them and to share Christ with them. But they've never heard the name of Jesus. They don't even know what this is. But we could still reach them. And in that week, I know that there were 178 people gave their lives to Christ. You talk about a mixed bag, some places that you go, and such as that, there are gods, they have gods all over the place. Cuba, when you talk about Cuba, they have, they worship idols. You walk into somebody's house, and you look in the corner, and there's an idol. And that's what they worship. They have a Santeria, which is evil worship, which is satanic worship. Folks, the church can make a difference. You know, here's a cold fact, and that's one of the things. When I'm speaking in churches and doing this, I have to give figures and facts of things. 95% of all churches in this country have no mission. Nothing. 95% don't even feed people. You know, they don't even feed the needy. What has happened? How then, if the church has no mission, how then will the people reach them? How will they be reached if we have no mission at all? How will they hear the gospel if the church doesn't put through the effort to reach out to them? If it isn't the church that reaches to the lost, who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? And folks, I'm telling you, I'm not just speaking of, hey, listen, y'all got to go on a mission trip and we're going to go to wherever. I'm not really saying that. What I'm saying is that it is our responsibility to reach the lost. And that responsibility doesn't go away. And God's not going to just go, oh, hey, that's okay. That's okay. No, that's not what he's calling us to do. I imagine that that you've all heard of Sir Francis or St. Francis of Assisi. Have y'all heard of him? Yeah, Yeah, he's the one, he's the founder of the Franciscan order. He supposedly said, preach the gospel always and use words when necessary. Folks, there ain't no preacher who ever said that. None of them. You know, it's, you know, that's what that means is that you don't tell anybody about Jesus. You just act like Christians. That's what that is. And, you know, don't share your faith. Well, here's a real quote from St. Francis of Assisi. The only thing ever achieved in life without effort is failure. That he did say. You know, folks, in the church mission, no effort is failure. We're not reaching people. And honestly, when you look at even your community around you, there's people on the next street over here that don't even know who Jesus is. They've never accepted him as Lord and Savior. They might know the name. I think when bad things happen in their lives, they use his name in vain, but that's about all they really know. Are they going to walk through the door? No. Why should they? Why should they? Listen, I've been in church for a lot of years. A lot of years. And I've known the thought of the church. I mean, you know, I've been a pastor for a lot of years. And I know the thoughts that are in the churches. And it is sort of a, you know, if the doors are unlocked, they'll come. No, they won't. Why should they? Why should they? You know, I have a kind of a pet peeve, and actually, Kendall had kind of spoke of that. You know, and I shared with you that 95% of churches in this country have no mission at all. That means that 5% of the churches in this country have mission. And out of that 5%, how many churches have a mission where the gospel is shared? Not many. Not many. And I run into this all the time. And here is what my experience has taught me. I've visited many churches and have found out that they have yearly missions where they go to areas of lostness, they go to areas of unreached, and they build buildings, they paint walls, they do that, and then they come back and they feel good about themselves because they've done a good thing. But then they leave, and the people who are there had never heard the name of Jesus, and then they die, and guess where they go? I personally know a church that does 17 mission trips a year. Not one of them is sharing the gospel. It's all doing good things. And doing a good thing is great. Us coming back and feeling good about ourselves, that, you know, that's a great thing. But that's not what God is calling us to. You'll never find it in Scripture where Paul says, you know, or where Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, and paint some walls and you know, build a couple buildings while you're at it. Sorry, that's not in Scripture. They're building buildings. They're building schools. They're doing great things. And then feeling good about it. Honestly, folks, here's the thing about church. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about them. It's about them. It's about them. Sharing the gospel. We take care of the worldly needs, but the eternal needs are lost in the process. I think it's important for each of us to do a study in Acts. And honestly, Acts, I love the book of Acts. You know, the Apostle Paul was, you can understand the struggles of church. It's not supposed to be easy, but you understand the struggles of church. And Paul was kicked out of more synagogues than you could shake a stick at. And it's actually pretty, well, you can kind of laugh about it even. He went in. He was brave. He went into a synagogue, Jewish synagogue, and he got booted out because he was sharing Christ. Paul was actually stoned to death, but he came back to life. And it doesn't say that he was dead in Acts, but it does in another epistle. He came back. He went through very difficult times. It's a struggle, you know. But he was kicked out of there, and buildings weren't being built, roofs weren't being replaced, people's hearts were being changed. And folks, that's the thing I'm telling you. There is nothing like watching the heart of somebody change when they receive Christ, and how wonderful that really is. See, it just seems like the American church has grown soft. We're supposed to be, and there's songs about it, we're supposed to be God's army. You know, we're God's army. But we won't even pick up the sword. Hard to be the army when we won't pick up the sword. You know, in the Great Commission, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we think that is for somebody else. And we call it the Great Commission, but you know honestly what it is, folks? It's a command. It's a command. This is what we're told to do. To go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Hey, let me just do one more. And I'm sorry, I didn't give you this scripture here. But there's something else where it says, and lo, I am with you always. You know, that is one of the fears that people have when they start sharing the gospel. And let me explain this to you. In September, I'm going to go to Bolivia and we're going to be sharing the gospel. You want to know something? My knees knock every time I share the gospel. It happens. And so it doesn't, you're not like, oh, he has no fear. Oh, he's a pastor. You know, of course he can share the gospel with no problem. You want to bet? Until I went on a mission trip and I was a pastor, do you know how many times I shared the gospel? I can do it from the pulpit. I can do that. But did I ever sit knee to knee with somebody and share the gospel? No. No. Nope. Acts 1:8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Guys, I train people before I take them on a mission trip. And we sit and we go, all right, this is how you share the gospel. And then we sit there and we practice and everything else. And I've sat there with a few people and I went, oh my goodness, what a train wreck. Here is where that scripture comes into play, because that I can think of two people that when they went out into the field, man, they were on fire and they shared the gospel and people came to Christ. These are the train wrecks. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was with them. What Jesus had said, that was the truth. And lo, I am with you always. The Holy Spirit is with you. That's the church's marching orders. And the promise from God that he will always be there and that he'll never leave. I think I've got another hour and a half, right? Yeah, okay, all right. I want to show you a picture. I want to give you an example of something. I just want to be able to share this experience with you. And it was, that guy. Yeah, right there. That was from my first trip to Cuba. I was out witnessing, and we have an interpreter. Because honestly, folks, When I go to Latin America, I can't speak Spanish. I know how to ask where the bathroom is. And you know, that's about the extent. And so I have an interpreter with me and I have a church worker with me. And so we were walking down the street, a dirt street, and we had been out all day, and the church worker with me, he was explaining through the interpreter that this last house that we're going to, this guy, we have talked to him, I don't know, countless times, and he just won't come to Christ. And so I said, well, we can give it a shot. I really don't know what I'm going to do that's going to be any different than what you did. And so we went to this house, and his name is Moses. And Moses was dying of cancer. And that bed is right inside the front door, a small room right there. And so we got there, and they gave me a chair, and I sat down, and I shared scripture with Moses. And I got to the end of my sharing with him, and I said, Moses, is there any reason that you would not want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? And he said, I would never believe in a God who would allow me to hurt this much. And I went, well, okay. I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm not gonna, you know, come on, Moses, you gotta listen. No, that's not what you do. And I said, well, Moses, if it would be all right, can I pray for you? And he said, yep, not a problem. And so I prayed for Moses. And I asked God for healing. And I asked God that he would take Moses' pain away from him. And I was done. I picked up my backpack and put it on and turned around to walk out the door. And there was a woman, the one standing next to me. She was in the doorway. She's a neighbor. And she said, I saw you guys, the three of you walking down the street, and I knew you were Christian. And I don't know how she knew that, but she did. And so she said, I would like to hear about Jesus. I went, okay. And so I had her come in. We sat right there next to Moses, and I explained it all to her. And I said, is there any reason you would not want to share or be able to put your faith in Jesus Christ? And she said, that's what I'm waiting for. And so we prayed a sinner's prayer, and she accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And as we were praying that sinner's prayer, I could hear Moses, and he's praying the sinner's prayer. And I remember, you know, because when you're doing a prayer like that, you say a few words, your interpreter gives it to them, they repeat it back to him. You know, it's a little prayer, but it doesn't take, you know, it takes a little bit of time. And I could hear him praying. And when it was over, I went to him and I said, Moses, what happened? How come I don't get it? And he goes, I don't hurt anymore. Yeah. All right. My prayer was nothing special. It was nothing special. But that was God. And Moses, I have no idea if Moses was healed. I got no idea. But I know that he didn't hurt anymore. And because he did not hurt anymore, he knew that God was real. And you know, when you say, when Scripture says, you know, I will be with you always, there it is. There it is. You see, the only thing that I did was I was obedient. Guys, that's really what this is all about. It's about obedience. It's about doing what God has called us to do. And that's all that took. I wish you could, you know, a lot of people go, yeah, pastors, they can do, not really. You know, I love people. I love to talk to people. You know, that I do. But God gave that to me. And you know, any one of us can honestly can do what I do. The other pictures that I have, which you can flip through now, these are all from Bolivia. And honestly, if I was to share all the pictures that I have, wow, would you miss lunch? And you know, because they're, you know, Bolivia and India and Greece and all of that. And it just depends on where the church wants to go. You see, that's what I do. I mobilize a church. I walk in, I talk to the pastor, I say, you know, where do you feel that God is calling your church to go? And that's where we go. And I've been to, you know, Bolivia. Actually, I started going in 2021. I did a bit, well, man. You want to talk about something? One of my train wrecks that I was talking to you about, when I was pastoring, this was back in 2019, there was a young lady that came in the first day, her first Sunday, and sat in there. And I said, hey, we're going to be going to Cuba if anybody wants to go. And she goes, this is my church. Okay, we're going. And so she went on the mission trip on 19, and she went again in 2020. And when she got back after 2020, she said, do you guys go to Bolivia? I said, we don't have any mission there, but we'd like to. And she said, well, that's where she was born and raised. She says, I want to go. I'll go and help set things up. And so the mission outfit that I work with, they trained her up. Boom, they sent her down to Bolivia. All right, let me tell you how God works, okay? She went down to Bolivia. She got talked with different pastors. She got the interpreters there, got them ready, got the church, a few of the small churches. And listen, this is a big sanctuary compared to some of the ones that we've worked through down there. She went down and set this up, and I started bringing teams down to Bolivia. And we started sharing the gospel. Listen, only on my end, my teams, God's teams, but you know, I'm leading them down there. 2,000 people have given their lives to Christ. And this is out of, you know, teams of 8, 9, 10. One of them was 14. Do you see what God can do? He took somebody who was not a missionary and he made her a missionary. And I look back, and that's one of the things I do when I pray. I kind of think back to what God has done and what he can do. Because honestly, folks, hindsight is 20/20 when it comes to God. He doesn't clear plans with us beforehand. He just has a plan for you, and he has a plan for me. And someday we'll be able to look back and say, wow, I remember that's what he was doing. He's working on things before we even know about it. Actually, out of the other teams that also came down to Bolivia, get this. There's over 5,000 people have given their lives to Christ. Wow. In Bolivia. All because I said, hey, anybody want to go to Cuba? And she was sitting in the back row. And she decided that this is what God is calling me to do. You know, I retire from being a pastor, from getting up there and talking in front of people and all that stuff like that, to going out and to serving him and to worship him and to serve him in the mission field. The amount of people that my preaching brought to Christ, maybe in 15 years, maybe five, maybe, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And I'm not knocking pastors, really. I mean, but do you see what he can do? I know. Otherwise, Nick ain't ever going to have me back. But listen, if I didn't make a dig on Nick while I was up here, he'd go, what's wrong? You know, this is what God does. And you know, people have to raise support to go on mission trips. Good. That's good. Because God works through that. You know, I have to raise support to live. God does that. He takes care of that. That's the God. That God, you know, we can go through difficult times, but you just got to take that first step. And so I will throw out this offer. You know, if anyone here wants to go on a mission trip next year, I will be going. Without a doubt, I'll probably be going back to Bolivia. And if, you know, if you feel the Lord is calling you to do that, I mix teams, I mix churches together and take them. This next trip to Bolivia, there's a church in Georgia that's going along with us. You know, it's going to be a rather large trip, but this is what we do. And I can put people together, and because it's all about Jesus. It's all about saving people. It's all about bringing people to Christ. So if anybody, you know, if anybody is interested in something like that, then get in touch with me. Get in touch with Nick. He'll get in touch with me. And we can make it happen.